Settlers and the Lightning Tree, the theme to Follyfoot, Sunday tea times from the 70s on ITV, set in what was essentially a rest home for horses. It told the story of Dora, Steve, Ron, Slugger, Colonel Geoffrey Maddox as well, played by Desmond Llewellyn. It was a mainstay of the ITV schedules on a Sunday for 3 years between 71 and 73. And when we played that track on the afternoon programme a few weeks ago, it got us thinking about what has happened to all of the people that have appeared in that show and where are they now? And after a bit of digging by Sandra and Jackie and myself on this programme, we realise 40 years of Follyfoot. There is a book coming out about the 40 years of the series. There's a big fan club out there, and one of its stars, Steve Hodson, has never spoken to the press for well over 2 decades. So that was the task we set ourselves. And it turns out, in this first hour, you will hear from the authors of the book, Follyfoot Remembered, Jane Royston and Ray Knight. They've been working very hard to put this together. It's coming out in the next couple of months. I got the chance to interview them a few weeks ago, and in the second hour of the programme today, Steve Hodson is on the programme talking about the making of Follyfoot. So to start with Ray then, I guess he was always interested in the programme when it first came on.
I was a massive fan when the series first aired in the 70s, and wanted to know more about the series, where it was filmed, about the actors, and I managed to get all the videotapes from Yorkshire Television, which was great. And it went from there, really. And then when the DVDs recently came out, that renewed my interest again to get in touch with perhaps some of the cast and crew again to find out what really happened behind the scenes and the stories that we didn't get to see, perhaps, you know. And that's when I managed to contact Jane, and she had said that she was thinking of writing a book, or had been thinking of writing a book, and it went from there, really. It sort of snowballed from there.
Let's bring Jane in at this point then, because you found Follyfoot, didn't you, Jane?
Yes, I found the location quite a few years before we actually needed it for the television series, and in fact I wasn't even going to tell the producer about it, because it was something that my parents were always threatening to sell my horse, and it was where I was going to hide my horse. But it turned out that the producer one day said that they were having trouble finding a location. Could I help them? And I told him about the location, and he promised that he would buy the horse for me if my parents decided to sell it. And we took him, well, he went to the location and absolutely fell in love with it.
He knew it could be bought at that age.
He knew, yes. That doesn't sound very good, but yeah, anybody could buy me as long as the horse was at the end of it.
And you were groom on the series as well, weren't you?
I was actually the horse manager, which was my responsibility to find all the horses. And I also helped with the locations, because Yorkshire Television, a lot of the people had just moved up from London and didn't know Yorkshire very well at all. So I had to find the horses, train, if you can call it training, train the horses, and that was mainly my job, and go through with the directors for the script, what they wanted to do, what we thought they could do, and what we said they couldn't do. And on the whole, most of the time it worked quite well.
Interesting introduction then into the television industry, isn't it?
I'd actually done a bit for Tony Essex, the executive producer, before. I met somebody who worked at Yorkshire Television when I was out for lunch, and they were looking for somebody to teach Sally Adcock, who was in Tom Grattan's War, to ride, and he asked if I was interested. So that's how I first got to know Tony Essex.
Did you think you'd still be talking about Follyfoot X number of years later?
No. And I think, to be honest, if it hadn't been for Ray and the phone call, this would not have materialised, this would not have happened.
So have you just put it on the back burner and thought, that was then, this is now, sort of thing?
I think because it was like 40 years on. And I, when we just finished Follyfoot, I was thinking of writing a book, and then I decided against it. And then when Ray said this, I thought, well, maybe it would be a good idea. And I've got to say, all thanks to Ray, he's not going to like me for this, because it definitely would not have happened without him. And we've worked on it together, admittedly. And we've had some fun, and we've met some people, and I've met some old friends. So it's been a fantastic journey.
Ray, you're not going to be able to get out of that studio in one piece. With your head's going to be so big about what you've been doing here.
They're widening the doors as we speak.
But you, going back to something that you said right at the beginning of the interview, is the fact that you went to Yorkshire TV, and what did you do? Beg them for the videotapes? How did you get them?
I wrote to them and asked them if the Follyfoot tapes were videos, as they were available, and the answer was no at that point. They were looking into it, but they weren't available for various reasons. And then I wrote to them later on, and they said they were available to buy. It wasn't really very widely known, but they said they could sell me the entire series on video cassette as it was then, which was great. And I think I ended up with probably the only copy that was in existence, because they only ever released the first three episodes on video, and that was sort of in the mid-90s, and that's the only ones they ever released. So people were sort of being starved of Follyfoot. They did repeat the series in the mid-70s, and again, I think, late 80s. But apart from that, it was never available, not commercially available. So people were sort of desperate to get hold of the series. And I had the sort of luxury, if you like, of being able to watch them, because I had the whole set. And obviously then there's almost a campaign to get the DVDs released, which have now, they're all actually available now. And that was the trigger, as I say, to get back involved with it and contact the cast and crew. And it really took off from there. And as Jane said, it was just a phone call out of the blue. I just managed to find her number. And it went from there.
It's fate, really, isn't it, when things happen like this?
Definitely. It was meant to be. I think another trigger was that Jane had said that she had quite a few private photographs from albums, and some of the cast and crew had photographs as well, which we've managed to actually include in the book. So it's some of a lot of the pictures in the book are never before seen, which I think is great.
Welcome to the programme, and lots of listeners around the country, I think, today, because of what we're doing with Follyfoot, the first of our classic TV shows for this week. Looking back on 40 years of the series, it's got the same birthday as BBC Radio Derby, and in this first hour of the programme, talking to the horse manager for the entire series, Jane Royston, and also to Ray Knight, who together, the pair of them, have put together a book called Follyfoot Remembered, which is celebrating the 40 years. And we've sort of put it into context, but then I moved on talking about the series in general, and especially to Ray, about the stories and whether the series, being filmed in the early 1970s, 1970, 1971, whether it stood up today.
Absolutely. I had certain stories in my mind that I sort of vaguely remembered, but it just brought everything back. And to me, watching it now, the series is absolutely timeless. Because of the high production values that you had Tony Essex, who Jane has mentioned. He was a real perfectionist where the series was concerned, and that is so evident when you watch the series now, the attention to detail, because as well as producing it, he actually wrote over 30 of the actual episodes. So there's an amazing continuity throughout, and it really is timeless to watch it again. A lot of 70s series that you see now, they are very dated, but that doesn't apply to Follyfoot.
It is amazing how quickly you can run across a courtyard in a pair of flares, though, isn't it? if you need to.
There was no need for that comment.
Jane, you were some of great actors. I mean, Desmond Llewellyn was there. Arthur English was there as well. Did you realise what you were a part of when you were making the show?
No. I mean, if I'm honest, all I was interested in was having this location, which I'd always loved, come alive. I'd always wanted a place with my own horses, and it gave me that chance to do that. The horses were my main concern, and sometimes at the detriment of the actors and the actresses.
Did the actors that appeared then have the same, or build the same affection to horses that you'd got? Did you see that happen during the making of the series?
I've got to say that when you watch some of the series, as I've watched it countless times lately, yes, you saw them counteract that with the horses. Steve, there's a lovely part with Steve, which is actually mentioned in the book, and Gillian also with Copper, the horse she was given. Okay, they weren't like me, who lived and dreamed and whatever horses, but yes, there was something nice about the way the horses and the actors and actresses were portrayed on the Follyfoot programme.
Long days, though, for you?
Very long days. Some of the people who worked under me kind of think I was a bit laziest of them all, I suppose. But they used to start at 6 o'clock. We didn't get the long breaks, because we had to put the horses away, then get the horses out for the next scene. And by the time we'd finished in an evening, either exercising horses that hadn't been used or, you know, seen to the night stables and things, it was a long day. But we used to go to the studios, because at that time there was no bathing facilities, particularly in the location where we lived. So we just went in the bar and we soon forgot our long days.
Did you ever have to stop production on anything? Were there some stories where you said, look, you can't do this, we can't put the horses through this particular episode or something? Did you have any input into the scripts?
There was a scene when a horse had to have colic, and the horse girls and myself got our knickers in a twist a bit, because they wanted to put this irritant on the horse to make it kick its stomach as one of the signs. And we all got very protective around the horse and said, no, this can't happen, we're not going to let it happen. And I must admit, Gillian, the actress, came on board as well on that one. And so they had to hire a horse from Mary Chipperfield. It was brilliant, but sadly looked much more upper class to our little brown pony that we used. But with horses, yes, Tony Essex wanted perfection, but with animals it's not always easy to get perfection. We did our best, and I think on the whole it turned out good. But we did have our problems sometimes, and so did the actors and actresses.
Having already spoken to Steve, it does seem that you became a little family, and there wasn't much interference from the big boys at Yorkshire TV. You were allowed to get on with making the show, weren't you?
That was very true. I don't think anybody would have argued with Tony Essex anyway. I thought the world of him, but he was a hard taskmaster and didn't suffer fools. I don't think even the big boys would mess around with Tony Essex very much. So, and if Tony Essex wanted it, that's how it had to be. I just look at it that I was so lucky to have that chance to live my dream of having stables and horses and living on the location, and also filming and meeting all these people.
Ray, what's it like now, having sort of compiled all of this information, starting to meet people? Have you ever been starstruck?
No, not really, because the people that I've met through Follyfoot, like Gillian and Steve and Christian, they're just great, great friendly people. They're not really actorish, if you know what I mean. And it's fascinating for me to hear them talk about the series and the little things that went on that we don't get to see as a viewer. So maybe I should be starstruck, but I class them as friends.
Follyfoot should come back. Do you think it'd work today?
Absolutely, definitely. There's such a need for high quality family entertainment, which is what Follyfoot was all about. Follyfoot was groundbreaking in that it was actually made to appeal to a teenage audience, which had never been done before. And of course, as you know, it became real family viewing. The whole family could actually sit down and watch a 30-minute drama unfold. And it was just high production values, as I say, and the writing was so good as well. That's why it became a real cult, and still is a cult.
In today's terms, it would be quite expensive to put together, wouldn't it?
If they remade it, and I doubt whether they could remade it, because people have said that it was Tony Essex that was the driving force. He was such a perfectionist, and as Jane said, he didn't suffer fools. So whether you'd get that sort of standard today in television drama, I don't think you probably would. But it could be done, but I don't think it should be done. I think Follyfoot should remain as it was and as it is available today, and not tampered with.
Are you surprised at the affection which is bestowed on the programme down the line? Even now, all you have to do is play the lightning tree like we did, and suddenly everybody is on the phone or whatever. How do you feel about all that?
It's a really iconic theme, as you say. The people that we've met while doing the book, the minute you say Follyfoot, they can actually hum the lightning tree and sing along with it. I think because it's in people's memory banks, and obviously with the DVDs out now, they can revisit it and play it as much as they want. So, no, I'm not surprised by it at all. I think it's nice for a series to actually be so well and fondly remembered. And I think, as I say, it's because of the... it's all filmed on location as well, as Jane mentioned. It was a dream location. And it had top directors, people like Stephen Frears and Jack Cardiff and Peter Hammond. And it's all sort of tantamount to their experience that the series... I mean, what you saw was what you got. It was a real live working farm where they actually filmed it. And as I say, to me, it's absolutely timeless.
Jane, was the tree a fake or was it real?
It was sadly a tree that had been struck by lightning. They actually brought it from where it had been struck and put it in the ground at Follyfoot. Because Tony wanted it, there was a gap, the space, and I think that's what made him decide to put something in there. And I think the lightning tree probably did cost them quite a lot of money to do, because there's more in the book. I didn't give you too much away.
No.
Which tells you the whole story of the lightning tree. No. So that's why I'm kind of sounding a bit edgy.
I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help self-confidence.
I'm trying to help. Well, that's why I'm saying, look, you know, get the book.
Do people even now go and try and look for the location?
Definitely. Sadly, the lightning tree had to be taken down because it became dangerous. And so everybody's out to find the lightning tree, what's left of it. We thought we might have found it, but we haven't got confirmation on that yet. No, everybody wants to come and see the lightning tree.
Oh, and would you like to see a TV company come along and just get the cast together and look back over the legacy of Follyfoot? They do it with a lot of other shows, and it seems that Follyfoot has been one of those programmes that we all remember, but which they never repeat these days.
That's right. Yeah, if you can pull some strings, Andy, that would be absolutely fine.
Hey, I'm good. I don't know if I'm that good.
But no, you know, it's a 40th anniversary, and a lot of series do celebrate the 40th, and it's all sort of happening with the book and everything. So it's something that could happen. We'd love for someone to pick it up and try and get the cast reunited, maybe on radio or TV even, to have a chat about the series. And it may happen.
And as a final point, the book, when's it coming out and where can we get it from?
Oh, the book is planned to be out at the end of May, and it's going to be available through our own website and online, obviously, and it's going to be £14.99.
There'll be a lot of people getting ready for that to read over the summer months. Listen, it's brilliant talking to the pair of you. It's great to reminisce about a classic television programme, and you never know where we're going to turn up next.
Thank you, Andy.